Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Man lives in an expanding universe. The power of that expansion stretches light and matter as it races outward toward the unknown beyond space and time. Humanity's greatest philosophers believe that thought and story are themselves a kind of energy, pervading throughout mankind and beyond. As our science expands, so too must our tales expand towards the incredible. This cosmic expansion is known as Redshift.
Tonight, from the pages of Apex Magazine, Redshift brings you a story of intergalactic drama. It is said that Macbeth is a cursed play, but will the curse follow an acting troupe to a distant world? Screw your courage to the sticking place and prepare for My Voice is in My Sword by Kate Elliott.
We knew it was going to be trouble when Macbeth insisted on seeing the witches first.
So foul and fair a day I've not seen.
How forest called to forest? What are these, so withered and so wild in their attire, that look not like the inhabitants of the earth, and yet are all...
Let's do it so that I'll see the witches first, and then I'll tap you on the shoulder, and you can see them, and then say the line.
Yeah, that was Bax for you. We've been on the squat homeworld for a few days, blocking out the play and trying to avoid withering under the burning star power of Michael Baxtrasini.
Call me Bax.
And I'm Ross, by the way. The big joke is that I always have to play Ross in the Scottish play because my real name is Ross. Anyway, by the end of that particular rehearsal, Bax had managed to grope Emmy and Sherry, twist King Duncan's arm so hard while offering fealty that it actually brought a tear to John John's good eye, and spit crumbs all over poor Ahmed because Bax decided that scene 6 was also lunchtime. Afterward, most of us went off to the hostel that we were sleeping at, while Bax went off to wherever a star of his stature stays on an alien world with limited oxygen-rich quarters.
Lady Mary in heaven, I don't think I'm going to survive 4 more weeks of this. Where'd he get you?
Crotch, what a pig.
But Sherry, my dear, he's a star.
Why is it that stars have to prove their legitimacy by doing theater? Can't they stay on their holofilms and interactives and leave us to do what we are trained for? I still can't believe Bax began directing during the damned read-through, and El Directore didn't say a thing.
Oh, well, I'm sure it will get better. It certainly can't get any worse.
We would all later agree that Emmy would not be auditioning for Cassandra in Troilus and Cressida anytime soon. After the first week was over, Caraglio, the diplomat in charge of this artistic exchange, took us on the official tour of the squat homeworld. I know you're not supposed to call them squats, but you can't really help it. They seem to spend an endless amount of time sitting around, and whether they're standing or sitting, they only reach about hip high.
Our hosts are only the second alien group who specifically requested an artistic embassy on their planet, and you will offer them their first glimpse into human art, culture, and history. I hope I don't need to remind you that you were chosen for your professionalism and your skill, and your reputation as a first-rank theater company.
May I ask a question?
Peng Shin Katoon. Equal in star power to Bax, but about 1,000 times more professional. Even though she was attached to the troupe, same as Bax was, everyone actually got along with her, especially Caraglio.
Assuredly, Miss Katoon. It is by asking questions that we learn, and we hope, of course, to learn as much about our hosts as they learn about us.
Will we be able to meet any of our alien hosts? Able to speak with them directly?
I'm afraid my answer will disappoint you, Miss Katoon. I'm sure you're all aware that the native atmosphere is essentially hostile to humanity, quite the opposite of our hosts. The Squanishta have generously supplied all that we require in terms of atmospheric shielding, of course. As for speaking with them, this transit barge is equipped with a translation screen through which we can communicate with our hosts. There are similar screens in the theater as well as in your living quarters, but I must ask you not to speak with the Squanishta directly without my supervision. We are still finding our footing, as it were, in our relationship with our hosts. Ah, there is the building we believe is their parliament.
Looks like an open-air theater.
Or a dozen of them. It's huge!
Why do you think they need so much space? There can't be more than a few dozen out there.
You may have noticed that this, our host's capital city, is not terribly densely populated by human standards. There is some debate among the xenodiplomacy team stationed here whether that is because of their low population, or if the Squanishta are more agrarian, and as such, more spread out. It is agreed by all involved, however, that—
Look! One of them is coming over!
I think it's curious.
This has never happened before. They've always kept their distance. Very careful about that.
Oh, maybe it's just a little baby.
Man, it's ugly.
What are they doing? Looks like trouble.
I think one of them is coming up here.
One of our young ones has offended one of your people. We beg your pardon.
Not at all. I beg. It isn't. Please don't. We are sorry that this incident has interrupted your deliberations, and we were not at all disturbed by the interest of your young one.
What I want to know is how, from so far away, the squats knew Bax was insulting the poor little thing.
Maybe those big ears they have are really good at listening?
As your orientation materials stated...
We consider your words and will meditate on them. As time continues to flow, you may continue on your journey. But be assured that, to our recollection, this incident has not occurred. Please be on your way and enjoy the rest of your journey.
So, what's next? Got any dancing girls here?
I think we should be heading back.
As soon as we returned to the theater, Coraglio stormed into El Directore's office. Since once a go-between, always a go-between, I was nominated to eavesdrop.
The man is a miserable pig. Why is he allowed to run roughshod over the rest of you?
May I be frank with you, Miss Coraglio?
I wish you would be.
His studio is bankrolling this expedition as a showcase for him and Peng Shin. You can't have thought that a small theatrical company like ourselves could afford this, even with a government grant?
Well then, he must be confined to quarters and to the theater. We cannot have any more such incidents. Surely you understand that.
If he's confined, then so must be everyone else.
So be it. Excuse me.
Star
quality. Can you explain to me why Mr. Baxtrazini acts this way while Miss Catoon, who presumably has the same conditions attaching to her contract and her life, does not?
Why are any of us the way we are? Ask Shakespeare, Miss Coraglio. He probably had as good an idea of the answer as anyone.
They're empathic. Don't you people know how to read? It says so in the packet of orientation materials.
Empathic?
The Squanishta are considered to be empathic by the xenobiological team that identifies psychological and physiological profiles.
But how can you tell?
I don't know how they tell. I'm just a goddamn diplomat, and I can tell you it's not the aliens I have trouble dealing with. If you'll excuse me.
Is she gone? Ross, tell everyone about the new restrictions, and tell Bax and Costas... We're gonna run through their final scene in 15 minutes.
Of course, we all returned in 15 minutes to watch what was now our favorite scene in the play. The one where Macduff kills Macbeth on the field of battle.
And be these juggling fiends no more believe, that palter with us in a double sense, that keep the world a promise to our ear, and break it to our hope. I'll not fight with thee.
Then yield thee, coward, and live to be the show, and gaze o'er the time. We'll have thee, as our rarer monsters are, painted on a pole and underwrit. Here may you see the tyrant.
I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with the rabble's curse. Through Burnham would become to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born. Yet I will try the last. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Lay on, Macduff, and damn be him that first cries, hold, enough!
Now wait, I'll drive Macduff back, and when I have him pinned, then I'll draw out my sword and allow him to kill me.
I don't know.
I beg your pardon, but we need to follow the sword fight as it was rehearsed.
Try it again.
And try they did. The original play has Macduff killing Macbeth off stage, but it's rarely played that way anymore. Modern theater has plenty of ways of making death look real, and Octavia, who is doubling as the fight coordinator, had staged a pretty exciting fight. Not that Bax ever followed the direction. Costas did what he could to keep up, half the time looking like he was restraining himself from going after Bax for real. At least this time they made it to the death blow.
Okay then, let's do
you
that.
Know, actually, I think it works better if I could drive him back like I suggested the first time. You see, I had him at my mercy, but I realized that death is upon me, so I'd let him kill me.
Goddess help us. He's so damn swell-headed that he can't let someone else kill him, even if it's in the script. He's got to control it himself.
All right then, let's do that again. Macduff with, I have no words.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword, thou bloodier villain, than terms can give thee out.
With the restrictions, we ended up spending a hell of a lot of time in the theater. But it was a nice theater. The squats had evidently spent some time building a tiny replica of the Globe Theater in real wood, or what passed for real wood. Certainly the squats had done their research. And if the theater was any indication, they seemed to care that they gained the fullest appreciation possible of this alien art form. We had the next day off while the squats put the atmospheric shield in place at the theater. The thick glass wall surrounded the whole stage, snaking in to seal off the back rooms and the cellar as well. It felt like performing in a fishbowl. It may sound strange to a non-actor, but being separated from the house like that, it's disorienting. Octavia, Emmy, and I sat on the edge of the stage, looking out into the sealed-off house. A squat was wandering the galleries in the yard, walking in its oddly stately manner, like a turnip with military ranking.
They seem more even-tempered, don't you think?
How can you tell? It isn't as if we've had any real contact with them.
Oh, I don't know. Just a feeling I get. They feel more serene.
Emmy, my dear, you're becoming positively spiritual these days. Oh, looks like we got its attention.
Hello? Hi, are we back?
Do you think it even knows what it's doing?
First contact.
Only for me. The first was that little one that came up to Peng Xin.
Maybe they're not standoffish. Maybe they're just polite.
Octavia, they did ask us to come here after all. Why wouldn't they be polite?
They're just so reserved.
Maybe they just don't want to offend us.
Or us to offend them.
Hey, you, witch. Yeah, you. Can you give me something to drink?
Sorry, I'm working on my lines.
Fine, I'll get someone else to get it. Hey, you! Yeah, sword guy!
It was a bad day for a run-through. Feeling caged in got on everyone's nerves. We either had to stay locked in the rooms behind the stage or watch the action through the one-way curtain in the musicians' gallery, and tempers were running shorter than usual. Bax was still as grabby as ever and kept ignoring his blocking and stepping in front of the king or Lady Macbeth or whoever was talking. The emotional temperature went up about 50 degrees. Except for Peng Xin, who evidently had huge reserves of calm to draw from. Watching the two of them together was a study in contrast. The true test of Peng Xin's professionalism was the way she could play a loving Lady Macbeth to Bax's Macbeth.
Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love.
You bit me!
Oh, come on. It wasn't that hard. Hey, what about the rest of my scene?
Cast meeting on stage. 30 minutes.
30 minutes later, we gathered like vultures. Peng Xin, flanked by Emmy and a militant-looking Sherry, had a patch of skin meld covering the wound on her cheek. El Directori arrived, and then we waited. 5 minutes later, Bax finally ambled in, looking bored.
I think that you owe an apology.
All right, all right. I'm sorry I brought the girls with me. It was tasteless, I know. Since we're stuck here, and you guys and gals can't possibly be getting the same quality of sex as I am. But hey, we're all professionals here, and this is one of those things you have to go through to do this kind of work.
Well then, I'll make this short. We have our premiere in 7 days. Tomorrow we do a full tech run-through, and the day after we go to dress.
And so we did. Bax restrained himself to minor acts of cruelty, like twisting arms and hitting people with his sword and the usual groping. And of course, we couldn't say anything. He had apologized, after all, or so El Directori reminded us, and he was a star. The night of the premiere, we were battered and bruised, but ready. It was hard not to get excited, especially as the galleries and the yard filled up with hooting squats. Against all the rules, I snuck up to the musicians' gallery to catch a glimpse and found Emmy, and believe it or not, Peng Xin there, gazing wide-eyed out at our audience.
Gee, wow.
I can't believe I am doing this.
Places, everyone.
We should go. Oh, hello, Miss Craiglio.
Hello, everyone. Good luck. Oh, I mean, break a leg.
House lights down. Stage lights up. A desert heath. Thunder and lightning. Enter three witches.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
It went well. Our audience was attentive. Even through the shield, we heard their taut silence. And we had come together in the last 5 weeks, especially since we all felt the same way about one person in particular. There is nothing like shared disgust to bring focus to a play, especially the Scottish play with its bloody villain. Bax was the villain, and we made him so.
Here may you see the tyrant.
We watched through the one-way curtain. Was it possible that we would finish as we were meant to? That we wouldn't be embarrassed in front of these intent aliens? That we, the first human artists they had encountered, could give a command performance and prove ourselves worthy of the title of artists?
And damn be him that first cries, "Hold! Enough!"
Of course not. Even here, in the actual performance, Bax had to ruin it. The two were supposed to lock swords and then break off, but Bax, damn him, had to throw it. With Costas unsuspecting, Bax was able to throw and twist and wrench Macduff's sword out of his grip and send it clattering to the stage with awful finality. Like an animal cornered by a cobra, we were too paralyzed with fear and sheer hatred to close our eyes. And then Bax stepped back, allowing Costas to pick up his lost sword. Bax opened his arms to receive the death blow, and then he added the crowning insult of adding a line to Shakespeare.
Oh my God!
Bax lay still as death. It was the best acting he'd done the whole time. The final lines passed smoothly. "All hail, King of Scotland!" we cried, and never quite as strongly before. Malcolm gives his final speech, and then curtain. The squats did not clap as humans would, but we could hear some muted hooting through the atmospheric screen, which had dimmed to opaque as a curtain. We stood there elated, waiting for the rest of the cast to come out for curtain call. Bax didn't move.
Bravo! Bravo! Exemplary work, all of you.
Well done! Well done!
Bax, man, nice work. I can't believe I'm saying that, but... Bax? I think he's dead.
Oh, what? My God. No curtain call. We've got to...
What do we do? What do we do? What if the studio withdraws their funding? This is terrible! How did this happen? He had no heart condition on his health records.
We must go apologize at once to the Squanishta. Can you imagine the kind of misunderstandings this could foster?
Everyone calm down. If the Squats really are empathic, they are getting a whole new second performance right now, even without the curtain being up.
Yes, move him back to his dressing room. And for the goddess's sake, get the three good time girls out of there.
If you'll come with me, Directory, and perhaps a representative from the actors as well.
Yes. Ross, please.
Once a go-between, always a go-between. I walked in a daze with the other two to the communications room. I was not surprised to see three Squanishtas had arrived before us, sitting motionless on the other side of the clear wall.
We beg your pardon.
Please, Your Excellencies, be assured that the tragedy that has happened here today is a complete mystery to us. I must beg your pardon for this terrible disruption. We hope you will forgive us and allow us a suitable length of time to, recover and explain.
It was a wise and well-thought play. Please do not think we did not appreciate it. Or think that it failed in any way. Although there was this slight mishap, one has to only hear the words to understand their meaning.
I don't...
My voice is in my sword. We hope that, in this small way, we have spared you the distress of failing to complete your work of art.
I don't understand.
We thank you for your assistance and your understanding. If you'll excuse us.
After the meeting, we made our way back to the stage through the protected corridor. Bax was still there, lying dead. His girls were wailing from the back, objecting to being thrown out of the dressing room. I couldn't tell if they were mourning the loss of their patron or just their privileges. Octavia and Sherry didn't want to touch the body until they had somewhere to take it.
But what happened?
The Squats. I guess they sort of used their empathic powers to make his heart seize up or something.
But why?
Isn't it obvious what the outcome of the play is? Isn't it almost a ritualistic act, the entire thing? They wouldn't have built this theater if they didn't care about us doing well, if they didn't want us to succeed. And they read through us. The object of the play was for Macbeth to die. How embarrassing for us if we failed to accomplish that act in our first performance for them. What else was there to say? The real cleanup would be left for the diplomats. And it was funny in a black kind of way. I looked over at Bax. The rest of them did, too. It's hard not to look at a corpse, especially when he's the one person in the room that everyone was wishing dead just half an hour before. The Squats were just trying to be helpful.
This presentation of My Voice is in My Sword by Kate Elliott was produced in partnership with Apex Magazine and was directed for podcast by Evan Peterson. This episode featured Eric Thompson as Ross, Chad David as Bax, and Ellen Lucas as Coraglio. Also starring Nicole Chapin, Paul Christian, Angela Dumalog, Nick Glover, Miranda Hofferson, John Martino, and Pam Torgrimson. Redshift is recorded at Mini Haha Recording Studios and is a Fancy Pants Gangsters production.